For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world, from the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Welcome to Your Mom is a Podcast. In this
your
very
mom.
Special podcast, Your Mom, you know what?
Your Mom's a Podcast. Yeah, Your Mom's a Podcast.
Here we interview incredible people and their moms to be like, excuse me, how did you do it?
I'm Sundeep Parikh, your
Milana Weintraub.
And we're both two LA-based comedians and actors, and we're also new parents, and we need help.
So we're going to talk to people who are incredible and inspiring and change the world, crack us up, all of the above.
And learn to be better parents. And also learn to have some compassion for our parents.
Yeah, who maybe did some things a little wonky or a little perfect, because look at us, we turned out to be perfect people.
So welcome to Your Mom is a Podcast.
My cousin now is having a baby, and they're going crazy picking out a name. And I'm wondering what your process was with picking out your son's name.
We wanted to create the Venn diagram that was cool Indian names that have really great meanings that mean something to us that Hannah's family could pronounce.
And you did
that,
it.
That left us with like two names, literally two, at least two boy names, lots of girl names.
That's always the case.
Two boy names, yeah.
So many beautiful girl names, and boy names are so much harder. How did your parents pick your name? Do you know, or what does it mean?
Yeah, I do. There's a wild story behind it. So I have 10 and 12 year older brothers than me, right? So they were 10 and 12 when I was born. And they had big opinions as to what my name should be. My dad had big opinions. He really wanted this like spiritual religious name. But every name that he picked, all my brothers were just like, yeah, that sounds stupid. That's awful. I hate that. And then my mom just like woke up one morning after having dreamt my name. She says, I heard this name over and over and over again in my dream. So I think his name is Sundeep. And immediately both my brothers were like, I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Aww.
And it was my dad was like, okay, I guess can't be this hyper religious name. But at least in him, or like he describes what it means. He describes it as enlightenment.
That's pretty religious.
Yeah, so he still kind of got what he wanted. I feel like he's tweaked the definition to serve him a little bit in this, but that's fine. I'll take it.
Okay, let's see what your mom said.
Wait, are you... What the...
So
Sandeep's name means.
Oh my
light.
God, you
when
guys.
When I was pregnant, of course, Rajiv and Sandeep was like very, very excited to have a baby in the house. So they were looking for the name. And, you know, my husband suggests the names and all that. But then, you know, they are saying, no, not this name, not this name. And then one time I woke up in the morning and I said, hey, I got the dream. And it's like echoing. There is a Sandeep, Sandeep.
Let's go.
So I say,
trying to mess with me? You trying to get my head?
And I just said, ah, that sounds very nice name.
I mean, dead on. So
that's how we decided to name Sandeep.
Dead on. Yeah, that's why we're doing this whole thing. Sandeep, we just want to mess with you.
What the
get
hell?
In your head.
You guys. Oh my God. It's not even my birthday. Like, what's happening
surprise.
Here?
Surprise. We just love you here.
Surprise
round.
Podcast.
Surprise podcast.
Gorilla podcast. Like, I don't even know what you'd call. Okay. Wow. All right.
Yeah. So, behind your back, we have schemed with your wife and your entire family. We tried to interview your mom. Your dad did, of course, enter the conversation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Not even a little
and,
bit.
And so this is your mom and your dad are a podcast.
Is a podcast. Are a podcast. It's so funny. I was like, wow, Milana, you're really like taking on host mode pretty hard in this like pickup intro.
I did feel the farcity in myself. Yeah.
I was like, and then I'm like, Steve is probably sitting there being like, dude, I have this whole thing to go through. And so I'm like, why are you doing this? Okay. Well played, you guys. Well played. Good job. I was sniffing something, but man, I didn't see that coming. All right. Well done.
So, do you know if your parents always wanted to live in America or how they got to America? Because they're not from here. Where are they from?
India, from Gujarat specifically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. They were neighbors. Yeah. So what's the question that I have to win a point on? Because I'm going to win. I'm
gonna
win this
gosh,
whole thing.
You really want to get it right. Okay. I should have asked trickier questions.
Did they always want to come to America?
Yeah. Did they always know they wanted to live in America?
Okay. I don't think always. I don't think they always knew, but once my uncle came out and was able to sponsor them, like basically it was just the land of opportunity, right? To them, they, I think, were really bought in on the sort of Camelot of it all, like from JFK, that vibe, wanting to just have a better life. And you know, so being able to get a student visa was a huge deal, was really challenging. And, you know, my dad always tells a story about how he didn't get in to any graduate school programs. So he had to write them all letters saying that if I get an A grade in my final semester, will you reconsider the application? Which is crazy to me. I always love that story because I'm just like, wow, he just didn't take no for an answer kind of a thing. And really fought for what he wanted. And then by the way, getting an A is like really challenging in India. It's not like they just dish him out like they do out here. and so he did. He did in his final semester.
You know, all those scholars
semester.
Who have it super easy out
yeah.
here.
Yeah, exactly. Just like all of our participation trophies. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, did they always want to come? I'd say, yeah. I mean, no, I don't think they always wanted to come. But I think that once the opportunity provided itself, they were like, you know, especially my dad was like gung-ho. My mom probably less so, was probably more nervous about it. And because my dad had to bring her over after the fact.
I'm just saying there's a lot of probablys in here, which make this already harder to...
Okay, so I'm going to say
not
no.
As concrete.
I'm going to say no. My mom didn't want to as much until you know that it became obvious when my dad was over here that she was going to come.
Okay, let's hear what she said.
No. In 1964, when he went there, his plan was not going to be staying there. He was going to come back, but then after you know his situation was like he could not get the training visa or whatever, and then they forced him to. Have a permanent visa. So then he decided, okay, he's going to stay there. And then after he finishes master, and then he says, now I do 1 year job. And he did 1 year job. And then he told me to come down there. I went there. And then we got married in 4 days.
They did.
They got married in 4 days.
Yeah, they had like a shotgun wedding. But yeah, it's a crazy, you know, crazy thing to sort of like change your entire world like that. But I'm glad they did. Glad they did. I feel like I won the location. I won the geography lottery for sure.
Even though you were like the only brown kid in your white community in Connecticut?
In New Hampshire, but yes.
New Hampshire, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't, all of those are the same to me.
They're all the same. Yeah, it's it's all the same. It's one giant white quilt. And we're the brown little speck that was in there. Yeah, I mean, like, had ups and downs for sure, but I got a good stand-up career out of it so far. I got good, stand-up material out of
good
it.
Good material out yeah. of your... Okay. Well, I think we give you the point for that.
Yeah, so, I think so.
Ding, ding, ding. You're usually the one that keeps score. So I guess I got to do it now because you're the guest. Okay, you get two. So we asked your parents, basically, were you an accident?
I was a blessing.
My mom, planning on having a third child?
If she's consistent, she would say I was a blessing. Yeah, they were definitely not planning on having a third child. That is for sure.
Okay, let's hear what she said.
Can my husband talk to you too?
Sure.
I asked my guru, because he was a medical doctor. We want to enjoy life. We don't want any more kids. We already have two. So what should we do? Should I go for vasectomy? He said, nothing doing. You have one more coming. It was 4 years before he was born. And 2 years before that, I was talking to one astrologer and Neeru happened to come there and join our conversation. She asked him that, do we have any daughter in our life? If you have daughter, then I want to try that. If you don't have daughter, then I don't want to try that. So he looked at the chart, but his birth chart said that you don't have any daughter in your destiny, but you do have one more son coming, and he'll be coming. He will be born in the month of July. So he said that 2 years before he was born.
Okay.
So like, can we get this astrologer's number?
Yeah. Or? This is the story. I know this is a story that my dad says. And I wonder how much of it is sort of like selective memory. Listen, I still feel like I should get the point because they were definitely not wanting to have a third kid. But it's true. He didn't get a vasectomy because some old guru with a thick astrology book told him not to.
Okay, I'll give you half a point for that one. And I will say that your parents are the opposite of my parents. My dad wanted only a son. He was like, I'll have kids if I know they're going to be boys.
That's so funny.
And then he had two girls. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you get. That's what you get for wanting things.
Want not.
That's right. Crave nothing. The Buddhist way. I know my mom, when she found out that I was definitively a boy, that she said she cried for a week. Yeah, really, really upset.
But then she met you and got to know you, and you're the sweetest sweetie.
Yeah, well, she got stuck with me, yeah. And then she got plenty of granddaughters, so she did okay.
I imagine her first granddaughter must have just blown her mind. Okay, what are the names of all of your mom's siblings?
That's fun. Her oldest brother, Mahesh. Devyani is her older sister. And then Subhash, Dilip, Ramesh, Bhaskar. Yeah, I think it's all of them. I got them. Yep.
How many siblings does she have?
There's seven total, including her.
Okay, great. Let's hear what she said.
Oldest one is called, her name is Devyani. Second one is Mahesh. Then me, Neeru. And then my younger one is Ramesh. And then after that is Subhash. Then Dilip and Bhaskar.
Let's go. So I get 7 points, right?
You get one big old fat gold star. Ding, 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 ding.
There's a lot. Point is that there's a lot. And my poor grandma, holy cow.
Could you imagine?
I can't even fathom. Yeah, could you imagine? Like they're like, should we have a seventh? I don't know. Are they having that conversation? Like, it's kind of tough.
I don't know, all of the tutoring and all of the classes.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they're like, well, we need someone else to go to the well and get another buckets of water. So we probably should get to have a seventh.
All right. It'd be good to have an eighth pair of hands.
I assume it was just like whatever took. I assume there was no
contraception.
Yeah, no contraception and just no planning. It was like, all right. Oh, hey, you haven't been pregnant in a minute. Like, let's let's change that. Like, that's so crazy.
I think you do eventually like get into a system and your reality changes. I mean, think about how much a reality has changed just with having one kid. Then readjusts with two kids. It readjusts with five kids.
Yeah.
And then there's this idea of personal autonomy goes out the window. Your kids start raising each other, which I imagine has all sorts of pros and cons 100%. For the kids. And then you just like make one big ass meal every night and they eat what they eat.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been a wild lifestyle. I mean, I do know that like there's no concept of a nuclear family, right, out there. It's very much a, you know, the it takes a village kind of a vibe where like they're living with aunts and uncles, they're living with grandparents, they're living with even like great uncles and all that stuff. And they don't even know, like the one crazy story is that my aunt didn't even know who her real mom was for a while because there was this woman, Kakiba, in our family who is a great aunt who almost treated them more like a mom than their mom did because their mom, who I think looking back on it when I hear the stories about her, probably had postpartum depression. And, you know, they talk about her as, oh, she was very devout. So she would just like kind of go off and go to temple, but she wasn't like necessarily a super present mom in the same way that their Kakiba was. And also there's, you know, this crazy story around the Kakiba who was widowed at the age of 14. And because she was widowed, she is no longer allowed to have another husband or any children. And so by virtue of that, right, because of patriarchy stuff. And so because of that, she ends up glomming onto these children like they are and raising them like they are her own children. And then you have this other woman who's like, you know, just pushing out child after child, probably her needs not being very well met or paid attention to, you know, being treated like, oh, well, she's something's off about her. So they don't really, you know, apparently she came kind of in and out of their lives in a way. But yeah, for a while, they're just like, yeah, I don't even know. You know, they called the other Kakiba. They treated her like she was mom. I mean, it's just totally wild. total different universe they came from.
Yeah. Could you imagine? I mean, something terrible happens to you when you're 14 and it dictates every opportunity you have moving forward. On the topic, we asked your mom, because I know that they really worked hard to keep Indian values in this very white place that you grew up.
Sure.
And we asked, what is an Indian value they hoped you guys would keep?
Mm. Yes, my mom and dad? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
All right, then I'm going to say vegetarianism.
Let's hear it.
I would love to see if they have an Indian culture and be a family person. Like, you know, take care of the brothers or the children, of course, and of course the parents. Like in our culture, we take care of our parents very well. We live together, all the parents and the children and their wives and their children. It's not possible in America, you know.
How dare you platform my parents in their endless, ceaseless pitch to live at my house?
Okay, I didn't know how to bring this up, but your parents paid me to do this.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
This episode is sponsored by the Parikh. That's so funny. That's just hilarious. Any opportunity.
Any opportunity to be like,
I don't mean to guilt him, but he should feel really bad for not seeing us more often.
Yeah, yeah. Well, meanwhile, they're world traveling all the time. Like
they are. We did this interview while they were in India.
They're in India. Yeah, I was going to say there's no way you could have done this without that. I know a big anxiety for them is a big fear of theirs is that they're going to be like pushed into a nursing home or something like that, which I guarantee you is not going to happen amongst the three brothers. But that they just have this, they hold on to this fear that they're going to be like not taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't. we got a house with a back house for a reason. Like, no. We just don't want you like in the same room. Like, is that, like, can we be reasonable? Or like, you know, live in a condo down the street or something. Like, there's plenty of ways that we can make sure we're close together as they get older. But right now they're globetrotting. They're fine. And they just continue to take care of themselves. So I'm not worried. They're like in their 80s doing headstands. Like, they're doing fine.
They're doing headstands. They're preaching the benefits of health stands, and they're teaching other people to do headstands.
That's right. That's right.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
go to I'm going to plug their YouTube. Okay. They have their own YouTube now that I'm helping them design and put together, called Nataraj Yoga. NATARAJA Yoga.
So that's spelled wrong. Sorry. We're going to dock you a point for that one.
Okay. That's weird.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
I can't fail a spelling bee. That's against my culture. That's what I thought they were going to say.
Your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What do you think is the moment your parents realized you're a comedian?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good one. It's funny being like also the host of the show and then being like, oh, yeah, I'll definitely get all these right. But, and this is a question I've asked so many people, but I've never actually thought about this for myself. That's so interesting. When is the moment they thought I'd be a comedian? Oh, my gosh. I don't think they really actually thought for real that I would be in the arts and doing comedy until I had the phone call with them after college saying that I wanted to be a filmmaker, and my mom cried on the phone. And I'll never forget like the sound of her pushing through her tears being like, okay, beta, we'll support you. So it was very sweet, but also like so sad. She was like so sad, resigned. Yeah.
I thought your answer was going to be like, they still actually don't think.
Yeah, that too. And maybe if I don't know if my dad answers, but like his would be like when he was on Jay Leno's network. I was in an episode of Community, which is NBC. Uh-huh. And then he spread it to like all the Indian folks in the community. He was like, my son is on Jay Leno's network.
So, I love that meant so much to them. Well, I think you'll be surprised by this answer.
Okay, cool.
Well, when he was young and he was talking, he always makes us laugh, but I never even thought that he will be a comedian, really. He was an artist.
He was a very good artist and also kind of poet. The most surprising thing to us was when he was in high school, he applied for Harvard something. I think he took math, and I don't know about sure, but definitely he took a creative writing course.
Yes, in Harvard.
So I said, why would you take something like that? You know, but his destiny was in writing, so he took creative writing.
It's always so wild to hear them talk about you when you were little. I remember taking that creative writing course, and that's actually a testament to having my older brothers. So that was really Rajiv being like, you could always take, because I actually wanted to take like chemistry and like physics or something. I was like, I'm at Harvard. I should take these. And he was like, don't do that shit. He's like, you can do that when you go to college. Like, take something that's like really stretches you, like really something you never think. Like, it was really him pushing me to be like, just, you know, like look in that course book and find the weirdest class or the class that sort of like challenges you the most. Like, take creative writing or something like that. And so I actually took creative writing. And then the second class was adventure, fantasy, and visual topography. It was like the most nonsense class ever. It was like, and it was an incredibly cool class. It was like basically like visual theory class. So I never
for nerds though, but like it seems like that also really came in handy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, going from a time where you were extremely disappointing to your parents, what do you think is a time that you made them feel very proud?
I'm gonna say when I was like five, my dad always drilled me on this 144 stanza Indian not really a song, but it's really a poem called the Hanuman Chalisa, and this is a really long poem in Sanskrit. And so, as a 4 and 5 year old, I had memorized it, and and they would always sort of parade me around as like, look at my son who can do this whole thing, and. There are these things called kathas, which are these like big 9-day gatherings where a sort of religious leader will speak, you know, about these sacred texts, and you know, thousands upon thousands, and they tour around and do these, and thousands upon thousands. There were probably 5,000 people at this thing, and the guy who's supposed to come out and speak, Moradi Bapu, he was late, and so they were like trying to buy time. And they're like, so if anybody wants to come up and like sing a bhajan, or like bhajans are spiritual songs and stuff, and my dad just like grabs me by the hand and like runs.
This is our moment.
Like, this is our moment. He like runs.
We've been training for this.
He like puts me in front of the microphone, 5,000 people standing before me, and he's like, Hanuman Chalisa, go. And I just like rip out the 144 stanza Hanuman Chalisa. And like lead, you know, this like 5,000 person thing. And I know my dad was super proud in that moment. I doubt that that's the moment they're going to remember, but that's the one that comes to mind for me.
I can understand why that's super memorable for you.
Yeah, this is why I blame whenever they're like, oh, this industry's tough, and you know, are you sure? Like, make sure you keep doing computer science or whatever else in the background. I'm like, if this is your fault, like you definitely put me out there to be singing and, you know, doing this kind of stuff in the spiritual sort of at temple and stuff like that. But what you didn't realize you were doing is you were basically turning me into a theater kid.
Like, yes. Who fed off a crowd of 5,000 people.
Yes.
When I was five.
I mean, I'll never forget walking off of that stage and people, and just countless people coming up to like congratulate me and touch me and like shake my hand or whatever it is, or high five me or whatever.
Like, so much positive reinforcement.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Totally.
Okay. Let's hear what they said.
I don't remember exactly, but one of the advisors, they really honored Sandeep for his scholastic achievement. In spite of him going to gymnastic every day, spending 3-4 hours a day in gymnastic. And I asked him that, how do you manage homework? He said that I take care of my homework just at the school before I come home. He was always a leader, except when I heard that he was a leader for playing mischief.
Okay, so you got two answers there, their proudest moment and their least proudest moment. And I'll briefly tell you about these because they're kind of hilarious, I guess.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't remember what specific moment. I mean, I was always like honor roll, National Honor Society, like basically whatever accolade I could possibly try to get, I was trying to get all the time. I was a complete, as you know, like
achievementaholic,
you know, just, yeah, grade hungry. But like the thing he's talking about after, where I was a leader in mischief that he's chuckling about, was when we pulled the high school prank at the end of the year, and there's like, it became this whole dramatic thing where, I mean, it was terrible. The prank was awful. It was like basically vandalism. It was not a good prank. I certainly regret that. But like, it became this whole like us versus them thing, where like the principal, this like tough principal from Boston, was like like came into this small town to take over for this other beloved principal that retired. And so we're like, F him. Like, and we just like,
that poor guy like took on an impossible job. And then
he was a
children.
I hold to this day. He's a, like 100%. He came in like, I'm Mr. Tough Guy. And was like, he was like treating this like tiny New Hampshire town like we were like, you know, Dangerous Minds or something. It just like didn't make any sense. It was completely incongruent to what was actually happening. He's like, I'm clamping down on bathroom hall passes. You know, like he was that guy. And we're like, get over yourself. So it became this whole huge, we were in the paper, all this stuff, because they were not going to let us march in graduation. And it became this whole like, you know, hey, these kids are supposed to make mistakes. They always do a senior prank. Like, you're coming down too hard on them, versus like this administration that was like, they're going to be examples throughout, you know, as he kept calling us a gang, like they were trying to like make it a gang violence thing. It was just absolutely absurd. It felt like a John Hughes movie, honestly. And eventually that dude got fired next year. So yes, we couldn't march in graduation, which was wild. So my parents, I was not allowed to go and actually march, which is, you know, it was a big deal. We had all this family in town and they were like, nope, Sandeep can't march. But what ended up happening was every kid put our names on all of their caps and gowns, and every speaker called us out by name. So it ended up being a graduation that was more about us than the graduation, because they refused to let us march. It's kind of wild.
That's honestly, if that was my kid, I'd be proud.
Yeah.
I feel like that's you like standing up for your friends, sticking it to the man.
It was. We had this one kid, he was the first in his family to graduate, and they wouldn't let him march. And I think that really galvanized people as like, this is stupid. Like, he barely did anything. He was like kind of a follower, just hanging out with us, you know, while we were being J-holes. And like, that's what it came. It was like, just let him march. Like, it's okay. We don't have to march, but let this guy, he's the first in his family to graduate high school. Like, let him get up there. And they wouldn't do it. And I think that just turned everyone against the administration.
Okay. Well, we did ask your dad, do you remember a time he got into trouble? So
that was it.
And in the last year of the school, they play mischief. And Sandeep had his own group. And they decided to play some mischief. And there's another group, they also wanted to play mischief. But what other group did, they bought meat and stuffed it into exhaust pipe of the boiler.
Disgusting.
And that created a big problem. And they tracked it and found out who was the kid. And that kid spilled the name of Sandeep. Now, Sandeep is not part of their group, but I think he blamed Sandeep for something like that.
And yeah, he couldn't have possibly been involved.
He got him into trouble. And what happened that the principal gathered all the whole group. He got the names of all of them. And then he decided to punish them or discipline them by not allowing them to go to take certificate when the name is announced.
Do you think the worst part for him was that you were sticking meat into the cars?
Yeah, it could have been.
That it wasn't a more vegetarian dish?
If it was vegetarian, if it was tofu, it would have been fine. Yeah, it's so funny. He has some of those facts backwards. Like, it was definitely our idea was to stuff like fish and rotten eggs into the AC system so that it was so stupid, so that it would like stink then, but then when they turn the heat on in the winter, it would also stink, and we'd be, and they would remember class of 2002. It was so dumb. Ugh. Awful.
Just remember you as the worst.
Like,
and then
you know,
just requires cleanup from so many people.
I know, like actual people. It's absolutely terrible. Like, in the end, I was like, we should just go clean that up. I mean, there was nothing good about the act itself. I think my dad was very proud when they called me basically the rebel leader to go in and be the advocate to the superintendent.
Oh, pretty I love ridiculous. That. I'm also proud of you.
Thank you.
For that same thing.
Yeah, yeah. I lost. We lost the battle, but I think we won the war.
We've talked a lot about your parenting philosophy. What is your parents' parenting philosophy?
Man, my mom just brings the fun. She is just like, I don't even know if it's necessarily intentional or not, but she is a kid herself in a way. And so she gets on your level and will play with you on your level. So I think for, in general, it's this like, I always felt like I could go to them with anything. They were never, they were never the typical strict Indian parents in a way. Like, you know, if I got in trouble, they would be like, well, maybe you shouldn't have done that. But also, like, we got your back. Like, my dad went in with me to the superintendent's office for that meeting, I remember. And, like, advocated for me, even though, like, I was totally in trouble. and, like, they had every right to, like, you know, bring the hammer down. So, I, you know, I don't know if they'll say this, but this is how it felt, was they were always our advocates, and they were always, especially my mom, always very playful and real intentional time with my mom all the time.
Okay, let's hear what they said.
We didn't want to force them to do anything. We let them lead their life. I mean, we guide them, but we don't force them. Like going to college also, what courses to take and this or that. We believe philosophically that everybody's born with their destiny, and the destiny guides them with which way they're going to go. So, and not to interfere, just to make sure they don't get into trouble. But thing is, generally, we let them do whatever they want to pursue. Like Sandy, very young age, he got into gymnastics. I don't remember how he got into gymnastics, but he really pursued gymnastics. He could have gone a lot further, but for some reason, he decided to go for academic life more than gymnastic life.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. They're pretty hands-off. Like, yeah, they were not very pressure-packed parents in that way. I mean, as long as like, you were doing well. But even like the times that my brothers didn't do well, they didn't like bring the hammer down or anything like that. They really do ascribe to that philosophy of like your stuff is predestined and we're just here to kind of guide you.
That sounds beautiful. Also, in talking to your mom, it sounds a little bit like you had different parents than your brothers had.
Yes, totally. Well, I also had more parents than my brothers had because they were parental. Yeah. Yeah. Especially Rajiv, my oldest. So, yeah.
Oh, well, as sweet as that is, that's wrong.
Yeah, that is wrong.
We talked a little bit about their philosophy, their spirituality. My parents were raised in communism. And so I was raised in like a mishmash of what is America and what is American Christianity and what is Judaism and all sorts of things. But your parents really insisted on bringing their culture with them. So how do you think their spirituality affected the way they raised their kids?
Oh, hugely. I mean, they were leaders in their temple. They really kind of gathered the community together. I mean, I have this whole bit in my stand-up that's like, I don't know how they did it really in New Hampshire, but I think they put up the, like, I guess whatever the Hindu bat signal is to gather like all the Hindus spread across, you know, all the idol worshipers spread across New
What's
England.
What's the Hindu bat signal?
Oh, it my punchline is that it's a, honey, look in the sky. It's a sofa wrapped in plastic from Sears. That's our people. We must go. Get the kids in the car, Pushpa.
So many good names.
Oh yeah, Pushpa is like my Steve for like Indian improv names. I always use Steve, and Steve is our producer, which is funny. But yeah, Pushpa is my go-to funny Indian name. But yeah, I think it was hugely impactful to their parenting, especially for my dad. Wildly impactful. He's a very devout guy. They both are. They both are.
Okay, let's hear what your parents said about how their spirituality affected the way they raised you guys.
But one thing, we are open. We are not what you call close-minded. The way we practice yoga and we promote yoga, that they should really understand that philosophy, that how it can be applied in our day-to-day life. I have studied other religions in my youth, as well as after I grew up, okay? And I came to one conclusion that philosophically, Every religion says the same thing, that we have to get back to the God. They show a different way of presenting it. But we came from him, we have to go back there. So how would you go back there? And in Hindi philosophy or practices, they show many different ways to get there rather than only one way. So it's pretty open in that respect.
Okay. All right. So he decided to go that route with it. Yeah. Yoga was definitely a big part of my life. As soon as I stopped answering, I was like, oh, I should have mentioned yoga. That might have given me the point.
That's too bad. Yeah. No points.
Damn it.
Well, you're really losing
getting
heart.
Getting my ass kicked.
We asked your parents, is there anything they wish they would have done differently?
I'm going to say that they're going to say no because it's predestined. So, you know, that's where they should land.
You're going to put your God where your mouth is.
Yeah, come on. Depends on what mood you catch them in. I know that my dad had an opportunity to move out to California really early on, and he had basically a choice between a 50-50 job in California or a definite job in New Hampshire, and he took the New Hampshire job. And I think that there is a piece of him that wishes he came out to California early. So I'll say that.
Okay, let's hear what he said.
I wish I would have let them speak my language all the time. When they were young, we should have done that, because I do regret that part.
Yeah, that part, I agree with that. I wish they really understood our language, especially
because we both talk in our language. But when we were talking to them, we talked to them in English. So that part we should not have done. And another part is not, I wish, like, we don't eat meat, right? We are vegetarian. I wish my three kids and the family should be that, but they're not. So I don't know what we have done wrong in that part.
We blew it. We blew it. We should have forced them for that.
Oh, what about the destiny?
Malana, sukam akarache. Sukam akarache. Ek laf maris.
There you go.
See, I can speak. I said, why would you do such a thing? I'm going to hit you.
You know enough to get by. You know enough to parent.
I know enough to smack a kid around.
That's... Okay, well, I'll give you the one point because you did mention the vegetarianism early.
Oh, okay,
but yes,
nice.
This line of, you know, I think it's something we all are figuring out of, like, how much is the kid is just who the kid is, and we are here to guide them. And then also your parents eventually came back around to, we should have forced them. You know, he went from, like, we're very open-minded and we just let them do what they want to, we really blew it.
We should have forced them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's like the two wolves or whatever inside of us, because there's also the piece of, like, yeah, I wish they forced us to. I wish I spoke the language better. I wish I was more confident with it. And there's part of me that's like, God damn it, mom and dad. Like, I wish you just like force the issue here. And so I think about that too, where I'm like, I don't want to push my son in this way. But then I'm like, well, there might come a day where he comes back. He's like, yeah, I really wish you guys kind of, like, you know, made me pick a single sport instead of, like, do the five sports, because then I could have been really good at this one, and you know, or, you know, whatever it is. I think that's it's a challenging decision, you know, we have to make as a parent, is like, how much of a heavy hand are we going to play? And
I mean, there, you never know what's going to lead to what. My parents did make me speak Russian at home, and I am fluent, but I am also not so great at English. Like, I didn't go to Brown. So I'm just thinking, like, there's all sorts of ways that I miss up saying.
You weren't going to get into Brown because you didn't speak Russian.
But I feel like the way that they emphasized academics, especially with probably your older brothers, of the who then re-emphasized it onto you, and all sorts of other things that they prioritized in the bigger picture of, we want to make sure they are successful in English, had this trickle effect of you going to a great school and maybe becoming a writer really early on. I don't think I had any confidence in my writing, because I was always like a, you know, I always felt ESL. Do you know what I mean by that? I always felt like English was my second language.
I even felt that. And I still don't know at least you know the language. But like, you know, I would come in and say things wrong because I would hear it from my parents, quote unquote, wrong.
Mm.
And then get made fun of in school for being like, you know, refrigerator instead of refrigerator or like, you know, grammatical stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think you are right that it was probably, you know, at the time they did want to make sure that we fit in, that we assimilated pretty well, that we could succeed where they decided to plant their flag and live. I look back on that, like I said, with some regrets, you know, and now mm-hmm. I'm thinking a lot about like, hey, look, I, you know, and then I end up marrying a lovely, lovely white girl. And so I have to figure out like, in what ways am I passing down culture to him? Like mine's already been a little bit watered down and now, you know, it's going to come through me. And so I better figure out like what the culture really means to me now so that I can pass it down to him with some conviction so that then he can then make the choice as to what resonates with him. So that's a lot of the work I'm doing right now, I think, is really figuring out, hey, what pieces of this culture do really resonate with my heart, really kind of like tap into a deeper sense of like belonging to the ancient, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of, because I think that's what's really powerful about Indian culture.
Mm-hmm.
When you go back and you go back to the motherland and you visit these incredible monolithic temples and stuff like that, and you realize, oh, carved onto this temple that was literally carved into a mountain over 700 years from generation to generation is the story of the Ramayana, the same story that my dad would tell me to fall asleep when I was six, mm-hmm. is carved into the side of this mountain, you know, this mountain. It's like from 700 BC, there is such an incredible, I don't know, an indescribable feeling, you know, in terms of just connection to our roots, to our ancestry, to humanity as a whole. I'm really trying to investigate that stuff of like what makes me feel that way, as opposed to the like, oh, I really should learn this song or practice in this way or go to temple and da da da. Like, what's the stuff that really gets way, way deep in terms of connection, and then go from there, you know, and go like, okay, you know, coming out of there, yeah, actually this holiday does really matter to me. And I want him for that to spark joy for him too, to celebrate Holi or Diwali or whatever it is. But
mm-hmm. I'm actually going through something similarly with my Judaism.
Yeah.
Because it's also an ancient people.
Yeah.
And then there are layers of BS with it too. There's like, mm-hmm. you know, there are hierarchies and there's, patriarchy, and there's so many things in it that I don't love and I don't
right.
want to continue. But one of my friends who we do Shabbat with, and Shabbat is one of those principles, like you're talking about, like, what are the holidays? What are the things we want to hold on to? I just love a Shabbat dinner. I love the idea that we get together on Friday
yeah.
and we have a meal with as many people as who want to attend, like that. The practice of generosity, the coming yep. together around food, even just the intentional lighting of a candle and whatever that intent is, I'm not forcing, but I love just the consciousness around fire and mm-hmm. letting it die out. There's so many things about it that feel like something powerful to me. And one of my friends who we do Shabbat with said, imagine if you like read The Hobbit and you were a hobbit.
Yes.
Like that's what it
totally.
Feels like when you
I love
when,
that.
For her when she reads these ancient texts.
Yeah.
And she's like, these are about us.
Right. I love
that's
that.
Pretty magical.
We're also getting in touch with our Jewish roots through my wife. And I love that too. I'm like, yeah, let's go for it. You know, mm-hmm. that let's because it does come down to those principles, right? Like generosity, community.
Food.
You know, respect, food. Yeah, there's, and these are, it doesn't matter whether it's Judaism or Hinduism or whatever, there's, they share those same, like my dad said, like they're all different paths in a certain way, but they all lead to the same place, you know, and And really that's awesome. So like, I think as long as you have some traditions that are meaningful to you and that you hold sacred, then it's about creating a family culture ultimately.
Until your kids grow up and they're like, why didn't you force me to study?
Yeah.
Or whatever the thing is. Like we're always going to think we're doing the best that. And then they're going to come back and wish that. I have that with gymnastics. My mom let me quit gymnastics when I was 12. And then I was like, why didn't you force me? I could have been great. In reality is I probably would have never been great. And my body was definitely already giving out when I was 12. So she did everything she could. But when you look back, it's kind of, you know, my therapist talks about this, like one of the stages of grief is bargaining. We negotiate the terms of if it hadn't have been this way, then it maybe would have been this way. And and all of us are dealing with the grieving of some alternate life path. And so we go to our parents who seemingly had control of it. And we say, why didn't you do things differently? Because if you had done things differently, then maybe things would have turned out differently.
Mm.
And that's actually just us processing our sadness.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
Okay, so we are moving on to our lightning round, whether you like it or not. Okay. You designed this lightning round, and now it's coming back.
Now it's back.
Bite you in the ass.
Right back in my face. Okay, great. Let's do this.
Question one. What is Sandeep's favorite TV show?
Oh, what the hell would they say? good God.
This is going to make you want to restructure this show now.
Yeah, I hate this. Who thought of this? This is the worst game ever. Jeez. Oh, my God. What are they going to say? Because they'll never actually pick my favorite TV show. They have no idea what I watch. They don't care. They have no concept of what I watch. I feel like they're going to say The Cosby Show or something.
Okay, let's hear it.
Superman.
Superman, the TV show, the hit show, Superman. My mom was thinking of Super Friends, which was, when I was a kid, one of my favorites. Nice. She gets the point.
All right. Since her points don't matter, that's a 0 points for you. Write it down. Right. Next question. What are three adjectives they would use to describe you?
Funny, leader. even though it's not an adjective, I think they'll say leader.
Literally.
And I think they'll say smart cookie.
Smart. Well, let's hear it.
Smart, intelligent, and handsome.
Aww.
Okay. only through a mother's eyes.
Well, that's an alternate title for this show.
My mom thinks I'm hot.
She's like still in the mindset where she's got to marry you off. He's very handsome.
Smart and intelligent. Okay.
I'm both. And those are different things and you are both of them. Okay. Yeah. So we're going to give you 1 point for smart. And what is something Sandeep could improve on besides everything? What's something you can improve on?
I think I'm going to say to stop eating meat.
Okay.
He has a little short temper.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What do you mean by that?
That was actually really fun for us to talk about.
Yeah.
I had a really fun time talking to them about this because...
Do you think I have a short temper?
No, we've lived together for years and I've never experienced your short temper.
Yeah.
I haven't. And I've been on set with you. I think I've seen you like get really upset, but I've never seen it turn into like a man tantrum.
I'm good at hiding it. Like how my son will say to me, you know, he'll like hit, he's like in a, still in this hitting phase occasionally. It's less so nowadays, but still will do it. And he'll literally be like, this is only for mom and dad. I'll only do this with mom and dad. He'll like, while he's hitting us, be like, I'll never hit anybody else. And it's so funny. It's like, I guess maybe you do reserve some, because you feel safe, I guess.
Yes.
You there's some emotions that you only sort of really perform around your
family,
you know, your closest family.
For sure. There have been times already in my parenting journey, and my kid is so young, where I am catching things affecting my ego. Or like when we're out in the world, I mean, that's when the ego shows up the most, where I'll be like, yeah, don't perform that way in front of others. You know, like hitting at home is one thing, but hitting me in line for coffee is another thing. Let's not let everyone know that we are hitting our mother at home. You know,
my little yesterday, we were at a friend's house and we were about to leave and he didn't want to leave for a while. But then I got on my knees and I was like, hey, sweetie, all right, I'm going to fly you to the car like Superman. Let's go. And then he was like, he looked at me, he started running towards me, and everybody's watching. They're just like, oh, like, you know, dad of the year moment. And he runs. He like runs up to me in my arms. He's got this big smile on his face. And he goes, and immediately spits in my face. And I was like, dude. And he was like, I'm like, he literally played me. Oh, it was crazy.
Wow.
It was crazy.
He did the setup too.
He set it all up and he never done that kind of thing before, but he literally played me. It was wild.
Wow.
And yeah, it was I was like, oh, not dad of the year, it turns out.
Okay, we asked your mom, if Sandeep could have any superpower, what would he choose?
Flight.
Flight. Okay.
Yeah, he can fly. He loves to. When he was little, he loved Superman. He used to always
put the cape on it and jumped off our sofa all the time.
Oh, yay, yep,
my
got
little
it.
Does the same. Yeah, let's go. And the points are doubled. I'll have you remember.
Thank you. Thank you. So then we'll give you 2 points for that smart one you got earlier. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what is Sandeep's biggest fear?
Failure. Something around failure.
Okay.
That's just an income.
I know what he said. And I think I should get the points. Consistent income. Consistent income. Which is fear of failure. That's exactly right.
That's right.
It's exactly the same thing.
That's exactly right.
So come on, this podcast has got to pop. Let's go, listeners. Get on that Patreon or whatever the hell we're doing. Like, subscribe, share.
What is your mom's biggest fear?
God, she is really scared of animals. She really is afraid of animals.
Really?
She's zoophobic. Maybe she's gotten better lately, but she's freeze up around animals.
Okay.
Losing him. That is my biggest one.
Aww.
She was talking about your dad. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Great. I thought it was me. Never mind.
Well, that too. I'm sure.
Whatever. No, I know. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, they're so close.
They're close. You have to understand, dear listener, they knew each other since they were kids. They were little kids, and they were not an arranged marriage. They were a love marriage. It's like a really beautiful love story of these two people that just grew up together since they were out the womb. It's kind of wild. Kind of wild. So, yeah, I have that fear of, like, if he goes, she's going to go, right, like, you know, in the next month kind of thing, how that happens a lot. That is that is a fear of mine for them.
Yeah, they have a beautiful thing. What was your nickname growing up?
Chiku.
It always says son, but Sandeep was always the Sandeep. We never had his nickname.
Oh, my dad. No?
Dad didn't answer.
Wow. Would he get on his cell phone or something? That's insane. That's insane
what
to me.
What does Chiku mean? That's so cute.
It's a little fruit. It's a little sweet fruit that you can only really get in India.
Oh, I love that.
kiwi-ish kind of.
Okay, got it.
Delicious.
So, oh, so sweet. Wrong answer. Keep going.
He calls my son that now too. He's passed it on, which I love.
What was your favorite meal growing up?
Oh gosh. They're gonna say, I hope they don't say pizza tacos, even though that probably might be what they say. I'm gonna say favorite Indian meal growing up was cheese nooshak.
Okay, let's hear it.
Pooda, I would say. Pancake leg.
Oh, Pooda. She's thinking of her grandkids.
All right. Well, your memory is slowly getting erased. It's fine. Mm-hmm. What's one bad habit that you got from your mom?
From my mom. Oh, my gosh. If my dad was answering, he would say watching TV. Because we both like to watch TV. But maybe it's we like to sleep. Oh, we like to sleep in.
Okay, let's
me go. And my mom.
Oh, sleep long time.
Yeah.
Let's go.
With every point, we are battling financial insecurity. Let's right. do this.
Let's go.
Okay. And then we asked this very important question. Who is your favorite son?
Whichever son they're talking to.
Oh, God, I really don't have any favorite son. I have all my three sons are favorite. Yeah,
she's a liar. Let's move on.
She's never going to say that. She's never going to admit it's me.
I think if I had three kids, I would have a favorite.
Yeah, I'd have a ranking board that on the daily and
and see use where that they stand. As leverage. Yeah,
absolutely. You want to get to that top spot? Take out the trash.
Oh, rub daddy's feet. What is a one family tradition that they hope you continue?
I'm guessing yoga, meditation.
Care for the family, even extended family or his brothers, just to care for them and be close to them.
Mm.
Oh my God, I get it. You guys can stay at the house. Jeez. that's
just
where that's going.
Take care of us. The very important family tradition of not sending us to a retirement home. Yeah, I just exactly. hope that.
This ancient Indian tradition.
Okay. Last question. If Sandeep could play any position in football, what would he play?
Quarterback.
I think he would be good at throwing the ball.
Yeah.
I do love your mom's love of football.
Yes.
That is so cute. I talked to her a little bit about that. And I was like, do you really like football or do you just like it because your kids like it? And she was like, I love it.
She
played sports all the time growing up and games were a big part of her life. And she genuinely loves it.
If you want to see quick temper, then you sit next to my mom watching any sport and you will see someone go from like joyful, yay, hooray to you idiot. Don't give him the ball. This guy keeps dropping the damn ball. He's even paid to be doing this. This guy gets paid money to do this, dropping the ball like this. This is his job. His only job. His one job he does. Garbage.
Oh,
it's so fun. This little 4'11", angry Indian woman. You know, it's the most fun human to take to a basketball game, I'll tell you.
That was our final question. Let's tally this up. So
yeah,
we have 11 and a half points, which I don't think is our grand total greatest, but is pretty great for this episode. And I think actually just like as research for how we move on with the show has been highly informative.
Just need to know that it's an A, you know, that's all. Is it an A grade?
It's a 96 and it could have been a 98.
You know, there's a couple points I could argue, but I've grown since then. And that's what I'm demonstrating.
That's
here.
Fine. As long
as
you're
a very fair grade.
Yeah. As long as you're okay with this affecting your overall GPA.
Yeah.
How did you feel about this conversation?
Totally shocked by this. I feel so loved by you guys. Thank you. This is so lovely. I'm like already plotting my revenge.
and, well, I'll see it coming, but that's fine.
Yeah, I know exactly. Now I've got like have your mom like bust through the roof or something.
I'll just connect you guys. It's fine. I'll just put you on a group chat.
Anyway, no, it's lovely. I mean, it, you know, it's so great. It's coming at the best time because they're coming home to our house soon. So, it gives me the warm and fuzzies of wanting to see them. And I'm not sure that they said anything that I didn't already. I feel good. Like we're a communicative family. Like I've heard, you know, all this stuff before. Like there's nothing that like really shocked me, you know, in that regard. But I think, I like that. Like I'm like, yeah, we know each other's stories. We, you know, we hold each other in really high esteem. And yeah, I love my parents. So this is like a great little thing. I love this show we do, you guys. It's a great show. It's cool being on this side of it. It's like, it's really special. I think we're creating a special thing for people. Like whether or not we have an audience, like I think it almost is like immature. Like, well, I mean, it's awesome. I hope, and I hope we do, but like we're certain now having been on this side, we're creating something for the guest and their parent that is like, so precious. Like I will hold this. I will not delete this from my Google Drive. This episode, aww. I'll be downloading it and make sure it's saved forever. Your Mom is a podcast is hosted by Milana Weintraub and Sandeep Parikh. It is executive produced by Milana Weintraub, Sandeep Parikh, and Stephen Hine. Editing and sound design is by Sean Marr. Music by Matt Friedman. This podcast comes from Effin' Funny Productions and Story Mill Media. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and TikTok at Your Mom is a Podcast. Connecting to India. Hello.
You call?
Yes, I called, Dad. I did call. I didn't think you'd be awake. It's so late. But I just finished my surprise interview podcast with Milana. Your Mom is a Podcast.
Yeah.
Do you remember recording that?
Yeah.
Yeah? How come you got so many answers wrong?
Wrong?
Yeah, I didn't get the highest score because you guys kept getting all these wrong answers. What happened?
I was going to fix them then.
Fix them. We'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
Is Mom there or is she sleeping?
Tonight we're going to stay up all night. Prepare for leaving on Sunday.
Okay, can you put Mom on the phone?
Mom, you want to go and get on the phone? Hello.
Hi, Mom. I just finished the episode, the surprise episode of Your Mom is a Podcast. Thanks for being such a good mom.
And, it's so nice of you.
And for not getting, you know, for not punishing me when I played mischief. But you know, you should have taught me Gujarati. That is true. That's one thing you guys did. You blew it. You blew
really?
It. All right. Well, I love you.
Okay, bye. Love you, beta. Bye.
Love you, Mom.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.